This episode is brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief. Welcome to The Last Storm. My name is Mark Flatt, and I'm calling in from the Pocono Mountains in Pennsylvania. Today, as always, I'm joined by my brother Dave. He's calling in from Maryland at the banks of the Potomac River. Thanks for joining us. Here we go.
Well, man, we got this game against the Jazz tonight at 7 p.m. Kind of looking at the Jazz's past five games, or they've won three, lost two. But they lost the other night to the Pelicans by 34. I mean, we lost the other night by 37. So in theory, it should be like a three-point game tonight.
Yeah, dude. How about the Pelicans, though? They keep surprising people with big, big wins, blowout wins. They got the Lakers the other night. People keep acting like they're surprised, and honestly, I am a bit. But yeah, I mean, here we are. You know, we got a big game. We got to figure out how to get the win so we can get back to 500 after the All-Star break. I'm expecting a huge game from SGA tonight, dude. What do you think?
Man, we would be stupid not to expect SGA to have a big game, because he's the person that's going to be taking most of our shots. At least I hope he's taking most of our shots, because, you know, if somebody else is taking most of our shots, it's either a really bad thing because Shea got injured, or Shea's in foul trouble, or, I mean, who knows? Trey Mann could be going off, so we're just giving Trey Mann the ball. But I look at Shea, he's got to have a 30, you know, two-plus point game in order for us to win against the Jazz, hands down.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what you got to think, right? He's got to go up against, you know, one of the premier scorers in the league and a really tough defense, so it's going to be hard for the rest of the guys to score, but I absolutely agree.
Yeah, Mike Conley's out tonight, so that's that. Obviously, Josh Giddey's out. It looks like Favors is out, Dort's out, Kenny Hustle's out, Ty Jerome. We just got somebody back. Oh, Wiggins, right?
Well,
because he's not on that list right now, so at least we know that.
Day to day, I don't know if he's been upgraded completely, but that would be great to have him back. That would be faster than I thought, considering, you know, what it looked like it was a very serious ankle sprain, but if he is back, that would be great.
But he's saying going to be reevaluated today. So either he's already been reevaluated, he's going to be playing, or they're doing that just before the game time. Either way, like, that's a big person to get back. We need a frontline defender. And Aaron Wiggins, you know, we have Lu Dort, and of course Kenny Hustle are our three, you know, big time defenders that take on the big brunt of the best players. So getting Aaron Wiggins back just for even 15 minutes would be huge for us tonight.
Yeah, and we've heard that it's going to be a couple of weeks now before they reevaluate Giddey. That's what we were thinking, and so that's kind of, you know, that's a bummer. But overall, we at least know that, you know, we're kind of in that ballpark of we're hoping to get him back before the season's over. But for the rest of these guys, they got to get out there and figure out how to contribute in a way that will put them in a good spot for next year. So great to have the idea of Wiggins getting back, or at least he's getting closer. And if we do have him, then we'd be at 10 guys as long as everybody else is healthy. 10 would be great, you know, but for the guys that have been playing, we've been seeing some great contributions from some of these young guys. We've been seeing a lot of rookies, and we've been seeing a lot of minutes from players for the first time. So those contributions are unexpected always when that happens, but, you know, it's been happening. And then against the Timberwolves, that, you know, we struggled. So, you know, we're going to be somewhere in between tonight. Hopefully we can figure out how to get contributions from everybody, from Poku to Krejci to everybody.
And looking at this team, if you're going in here thinking that we're going to stomp out the Utah Jazz, you're just not understanding what's happening with the season. And that's fine. I mean, everybody needs to know what's going on. But the reality is that we want competitive minutes. That's what I think that we're rooting for and shooting for every single game now, is we want to make sure that this team is competing game in and game out. It doesn't mean it's a win, but it means that these guys are learning how to play at a high level and continuously learning how to play at a high level. So that's what we're going for. And Shea getting out there and scoring 30-plus points a game at this point has been excellent to see, especially with all the rumors that have been going around that he's, you know, and Coach D and other people in the organization talking about him moving to the two guard or the shooting guard. you know, like, he's proving that he deserves to have the ball in his hands a ton, and he doesn't mind sharing it. So, again, like, it goes back and forth with, you know, we talked about it, like, yes, giving Josh Giddey the ball means that Shea's going to have less time with the ball in his hands, but knowing how Coach D handles the offense, we're not talking about a substantial amount of time going to be taken away from Shea and the ball, because there's going to be moments where Josh Giddey's not on the court. There's going to be moments where, you know, the offense is obviously just flowing through Shea and Josh is just coming across half court, passing it to Shea, and then offense go. So to me, looking at it, like, this is, you know, people are always talking about the, you know, Shea being upset, but if you put Shea at the shooting guard, he has a better chance at making the All-Star game at the shooting guard than he has the point guard, and vice versa for Josh Giddey, because the stats are so, you know, in line to what the point guard and the shooting guard are, with shooting guard with Shea and point guard with Josh Giddey, that it, to me, it's a no-brainer for both of them to be able to help each other out in this way. And watching Shea dominate right now has been unbelievable. Timberwolves, Nuggets, Kings, Pacers, it's all just gravy for him. And it doesn't matter who's guarding him. He's just balling, bro.
Yeah, I think you have a really good point, because, like you said, like, in the 90s and early 2000s, there were quite a few good twos and there were less good point guards and more good shooting guards. So now there's a lot more really good point guards and less really good shooting guards. And I think that that move isn't something that's not why you make that move. But you look at it and you say, you know, SGA is developing into such a lethal scorer that you need to ask him to go out and score every night. And having someone like Giddey out there who can really get the ball to both ends of the court, move it from side to side, and attack in a secondary way creates the balance that we haven't seen for this team really since we had both Russ and KD. But for other people, like some teams, they've never seen anything like this. So, you know, we're kind of in between. We have seen it before, but we also understand it can be really fleeting. And this is what we're trying to nurture. We're trying to nurture them playing together, them figuring it out together, and writing their own, you know, path to this. So, you know, we keep looking for little glimpses and signs. And yeah, you're right, like you mentioned it earlier, like we hope that SGA gets the most shots, but you never know what can happen. It could be that Trey Mann is just going off and the Jazz are doubling SGA in every situation, and he passes out of the double team as well as anybody in the league. So there's really a lot of opportunities for other guys. It depends on how teams defend. I mean, they have to decide, are you going to let SGA go out and get 40, or are you going to try to make other guys stop you? Like, in the end, those are the decisions teams have to make.
Yeah, and Utah is going to be coming out tonight, like, with a chip on their shoulder. Utah has been really consistent. They haven't been beat by more than 20 points this season, and this is the worst beatdown they've had since 2018. So they're going to come out. They're going to come out with a chip on their shoulder. So for us to be able to take and withstand that charge from them and push back is going to be the key, because you know, they have the players to completely just overwhelm us if we're not playing the way that we need to be playing out there in the defensive first mindset, slowing down their fast breaks and different things like that. And, you know, I get excited about the way this team is going right now, but, you know, we have a long ways to go. And I'm reminded by that every single night we watch them play. And part of me wants to be there and being like, let me just show everybody my knowledge and throw these guys under the bus and make them look a little small, because like that's what a lot of these other podcasts are doing. They understand the game well enough to diss and make other players look bad. But that's not what Mark and I are focusing on. Like we said, I said a second ago, we're focusing on, and what we want to see is competitive minutes. Like, that's completely different than we're going to the playoffs, motherfuckers. We want to see this team compete. Like, that's it. Like, to me, that's all we're looking at. And so when we're going in there to say, like, do I think we can win this game? I mean, yeah, I think we can win every game that we're out there on the court. But will we win this game? I mean, that's a whole new story. It all comes down to how we play defense. We saw how we played defense against Denver the other day. And then the next game, we just got our asses handed to us. So again, it's a coin flip. Like, what is this team going to do? They're young, so the expectations on them are incredibly low. So again, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Absolutely, man. But I'm digging it. We're having a lot of fun this season, you know, seeing little things. And when you... if you had told me in advance that we'd only have 9 players out there, I would feel like that'd be a pretty shitty time. But actually, you know, over the last seven games, you know, we haven't been doing so bad. So I really feel like we're at the stage where we got to just figure out how to continue to play, like you're saying, compete for 48 minutes, you know, put ourselves in a position to have a chance to win the games. And then when that happens, even if we lose, we need to recognize that that's what we fought for, you know, and we had that great game in Denver, but likewise, like Denver had a terrible game. So it kind of takes a little bit of give and take, and a team overlooking us is one of those things that will give us enough of an edge, but will the Jazz overlook us? I doubt it. You know, if you look at the way that they got beat, I think that's why they're not going to come in here lightly. They understand that they want to compete for a high, at a high level, and taking care of business against a team that they should take care of business against is the best way to do that. So they're going to respond to that loss to the Pelicans in a way. I think it's going to be all about intensity. And for us to compete, what we're going to have to do is, you know, stay within ourselves, you know, absorb a couple of, you know, hits, and then be able to land a couple of our own. And we've been able to do that all season. Last game was not one of those games where, you know, we were able to come back. But generally speaking, we are always in games, even if we're down by double digits. You know, that doesn't mean anything to us. We keep fighting. So we're going to keep doing that, and we're going to see where it leads us.
Yeah, man. And November 24th is the last time that we played against the Jazz. We did not have Shea in that game. Lou Dort led the team in scoring with 27 points. Josh Giddey had what we considered his best game at that point, 19 points, eight assists, seven rebounds. But, you know, looking at that game, like, we're a very different team right now. And, like, I felt like we did a great job against them. We lost that game 104 to 110. You know, and I believe we had an opportunity to cut it to much closer than that. So, again, this is one of those things I'm looking at and circling and saying, this team has a really great opportunity to do something great here. So, you know, whether or not they get the win, it's proven that we don't need to be healthy to have a close game against Utah. So that's always good. I mean, I don't know. Like, I see we got Josh Giddey, Derek Favors, Lou Dort, Kenny Hustle, and Ty Jerome just off of this, the five guys I'm looking at right now. I know we got Mike and some other guys that are coming back, JRE. But it's insane to say that we have all these injuries right now and dealing with them and seeing how these guys are handling the next up mentality. It's one thing to say next man up mentality. It's a whole new thing to go out there and do that. And we're having a moment where we've seen, five rookies out there, four rookies and a 19-year-old, you know, like this is crazy, Mark. I've never seen a team this young have to do what they've been expected to do with as many injuries and being able to at least keep things semi-respectable.
Yeah. And it's taken the whole NBA started to take notice of what's happening. And, you know, Zach Lowe wrote an article, I think like his 10 best things or 10 favorite things or something like that. Right. He talked about Trey Mann. So that's an ESPN insider article. Check that out if you are an ESPN insider. If not, there's also, you can just Google it and somebody will, you know, give you the contents out of that. What you got, Dave?
Yeah, man. I mean,
right. Check it out. And then also check out the Bleacher Report article. It's called Why NBA's Most Aggressive Rebuild Could Drive Blockbuster Deals This Summer. Eric Pinkos wrote that, and it's excellent. It's a lot about the situation the Thunder are in and Sam Presti's outlook. I really enjoyed the article. It had a lot of information, including the actual way that the money, the leftover funds, could be sent to the players, like the precedent and how that all will work. Talks about the draft and free agency and trade opportunities coming up. I really enjoyed the article, and it got really in-depth about kind of like the big picture and how the rest of the NBA perceives the Thunder and the situation they're in right now.
It was a great article Mark sent me. I'm really stoked that you did. It's impressive to me even more so recognizing a massive amount of what we're giving up. I mean, Aaron Wiggins and I forget the other name that won't get the max amount, but that $1.5 million. But they'll get $773,000 still. And these guys are they're making $2 million right now. So I mean, $773,000 for a bonus fucking check. Come on, guys.
It's real money.
Like, it's insane. And then you got for you know these guys that are playing more time. It's $1.5 million. Like that's double their salary. Some of these guys. Like you know, think about Isaiah Roby. He's making like $1.7 million. Just doubled his salary off of this. This is what it's next level. You're creating a loyalty and you're creating something in that locker room and say, hey, listen, you know, we might not be able to give you that extra $3 million this team is offering you guys right now, but we are going to make sure that we take care of you and we are going to make sure that you get the right time so you can sign a second contract that will pay you $20 million more in the long term. This is the type of stuff that, you know, players are going to start trusting and believing in. And when you buy into a system like this, bro, it's powerful. So, you know, kudos for Sam Presti. Kudos for the entire staff for making this happen. Because, again, they could have picked up a couple players in any of these trades just to even out the money. And they didn't. They stood firm. And I like it.
Yeah, and the actual precedent of how it works is we're going to pay the NBA Players Association. And they end up paying the players. Or they send it back to the Thunder. Either way, if they played 41 games or at least 41 games, then they'll get a full share. If they played 20 to 40 games, then they'll get a half a share. So how that will work, I'm not exactly sure because, you know, there's still enough games that if people have played, you know, just one game up to this point, they could earn, you know, a half a share. And, you know, that's the precedent, but it seems like they're not saying that this is something that has to happen. So I'd assume it will, but it's fascinating to kind of read the big picture about that. So, you know, check that article out. And it's not just about that money, although that was, you know, something that I took from it. There's a lot about, you know, what Sam Presti's been up to. I'll just go ahead and include the article in the podcast description. So you can just click on it from there and let us know what you think.
Yeah, we're all about understanding more about the Thunder and getting in depth. We love to have conversations about it. So obviously, if you guys have insight on what you read and, you know, or you guys even fucking disagree with us, like, please reach out and let us know, because these are the type of things that we'd like to, you know, have conversations on air about. You know, we have a lot of our buddies that we've met through this podcast that they write us, you know, emails, text messages, whatever, letting us know, hey, I like this, or this was stupid, or whatever. I like that type of stuff. I like to be able to have that interaction and stuff. So again, it's been fun for us to be able to see how this is going and really understand what's happening with the Thunder, because if it wasn't for us doing this podcast, we wouldn't have been able to stay up in tune with everything. We could have been like, oh yeah. We like Josh Giddey for the Oklahoma City Thunder to pick, but it's one thing to say that to a couple of your buddies. And it's a whole new thing to put it out there on a podcast to believe that this is the next player of the Oklahoma City Thunder, because you're calling some shit out that sometimes you have to eat your words. And, you know, that's what I was, you know, kind of concerned about when we were first talking about the draft and stuff. But man, I am so pumped with how this team has been dwarfing and morphing into something is special, and our defense is special. Our way, our understanding of the game is special. The knowledge of the players, it's like Sam is going out there and picking, you know, kids up, which he probably obviously is, the highly intelligent ones of the NBA drafts. And it's fun to see, because these are the guys that are going to drive the team the most.
Yeah, I mean, it's something I told back then. It's been a little while, but, you know, before we picked Josh Giddey, but after you and I had covered him in our draft special, I got into a car with a Thunder fan in Kansas, and I asked him a few questions, and I said, who do you think we should pick? And he said, Josh Giddey. And this was before the draft, and I said, with number six? And he's like, I don't care. We should get him. I was like, you know, some people say we should trade back if we're going to get him. He's like, we should just get him. And I was really impressed with that, and I still am, and I just think it's really cool to know that there are other fans out there who are paying attention, and they're coming up with their own decisions. And just because some people are out there saying we should trade, you know, Giddey and SGA for Cade, doesn't mean that everybody's following that bullshit.
Yeah, and there's so much that goes on behind the scenes. So for us to say that we feel like, you know, we know what's going to happen every single time and what player we're going to, you know, go towards every single time. We really have no idea. I mean, like, Sam Presti has these NBA experts that have been, you know, students of the game for, you know, years and years and years working for him. And obviously he understands the game in a great way. But the reality is that the game has been changing so much recently that it's easy to pick out the guys that are the unicorns of the group. And that's what's special, is being able to see, okay, this kid is not going to be the player that we want right now, but in 2 years he may be. And, you know, that's a kid like Poku that we talked about. We drafted him with our first pick of that draft, and we all sat back and we were like, okay, is this guy going to make an immediate impact right now? Nope, he's not. He's going to come in, he's going to work hard, he's going to get some time, and then he's going to build off of that. And he's already, you know, way more advanced than we thought he was going to be. We didn't think he was going to get as much playing time until after this year. So he's already, you know, up the ante there. But that's what this team is all about, is you get an opportunity, you go out there, you prove it, and then you get more playing time because of it. And it's powerful.
Yeah, and Poku has exceeded our expectations for his second year already. And, you know, a lot of that comes down to opportunity. And that's the same with Trey Mann. Like, if they were playing for Coach Donovan, it would have been a lot harder to get that opportunity. Or if the roster was full of veterans, you know, that's going to be one of those things that would be very difficult. So our commitment to getting these young players, understanding like that it's going to take them time to develop, but we want to be a part of that process. And the reason that we both were like, Josh Giddey's the guy, and obviously there's not going to be a situation going forward where we're that clear about things, but it was apparent to us that with Poku, what was Poku? Poku was a mystery. He was going to be the youngest player in the league, and he was really, really big for his position. So we sat down and we looked at the draft and we said, who's the most mysterious player? Josh Giddey. Who's the biggest player for the position? You know, combined with being a mystery, that was Josh Giddey. And, you know, who was the youngest player in this? It was Josh Primo and Josh Giddey. So it really, those three things kind of pointed us there. And so I doubt that there's going to be a perfect storm again where we can be like, oh yeah, this is who we're going to get. It hasn't been like that in the past, but you know, for us to be able to like say, this is why we come to the decision. It's not because we're sitting here thinking, oh, you know, we're the best at predicting this stuff. It's you're looking at patterns. And when you can start, you know, recognizing some patterns, then you can start making some educated guesses. And that's all it's about right now.
It's the basic steps, the foundations that have been laid. A lot of these players that we see, like Bazley, we talked about him being a possible foundation piece. They're all foundation pieces, because it doesn't mean that Bazley is going to be there in 5-6 years. But it does mean that Bazley is going to be the type of style the player is going to be used. So in 5-6 years, it means we'll draft somebody that's bigger, somebody that's faster, somebody that's more able to hit those corner threes. It doesn't matter. Bazley's prototype is what we're looking for. And you're looking at it, you're looking at Poku's prototype, you're looking at Josh Giddey's prototype, you're looking at Shea's, you're looking at Aaron Wiggins, and all these guys, you know, Lou Dort, they're starting to prove like what Sam's looking for and the fluidity of his the draft and the players together and everything. And it's just, to me, it's powerful, and it's nice, it's refreshing to see, because nothing has been like this ever before. It's a treat to be able to be an Oklahoma City Thunder fan, because, you know, we've all been there. We've all been playing those games, the college games where you're recruiting the players, or the NFL games where you're trying to build that dynasty team, right? You know, and same thing with the NBA games across the board. The thing about it is that you get an opportunity to build a dynasty, but the reality is that what Sam has done is way greater than anything that we could have ever hoped for. And we can sit here and say, oh yeah, well, you know, we got 38 draft picks, we have this, we have that. Like, even if we draft all 38 players and we keep them, it's because we're upgrading the players. And I don't understand why some people don't understand this. Like, the draft allows us to go and get a player and say, is this player going to be better than Bazley? Oh, look at he's better than Bazley. All right, let's go ahead and move on. You know, like, these are the guys that by drafting, you get to see where the path is going. And yes, sometimes you're going to trade away a player that's going to have a contract year, But the reality is that because of the player that we were drafting, it allows us to refresh the system a lot. And we keep those players, all 38, cool. We trade them away, it doesn't matter. Because it's all about what Sam Presti thinks is best for this organization and us just believing in it and going along.
Yeah, and there's going to be opportunities where we have to trade away a really good player to give another young player an opportunity. A lot of people remember when Jerry West traded away Eddie Jones, who was an all-star, to make room for Kobe Bryant, right? Those are the types of situations general managers have to go through, and they can be resented for, but usually it's just for a short time. So we're going to go through that a lot. We're going to be in positions where we have a player that's playing at a high level, but we have another player at that same position that management believes in more, so we're going to have to move on. And with that, we're going to get some picks. We're going to get an opportunity to increase our future opportunity, but it's going to be down the road. And really, what we're doing is we're believing in the young players and giving those guys opportunities. And you can look at a player like Jeremy Grant, right? We brought him in, and we were able to do that. But when he got to that contract year, we knew we weren't going to put that money in. And we got a better return than what we initially paid for him. Plus, we got really good years with Jeremy. So there's a lot that goes into it, but it's this opportunity that comes when you have really as many draft picks or more draft picks than anybody else has ever had in the NBA.
Patience, man, patience. We got a lot of years left. It's not like the NBA is all of a sudden going to disappear and that's that. You know, like the Oklahoma City Thunder will win championships. It's just a matter of time. So I'm pumped. I know you're pumped. We had a chance to have a beautiful day outside here on the Eastern Coast. What a hell of a weekend. I'm pretty stoked about it. We got a game tonight to finish off that. And we'll see how that goes into next week to see if we can pull some wins out of our ass there. That'd be great.
Awesome, man. Definitely looking forward to it. And I was able to get out and go fishing today with my kids, and that was awesome. My daughter caught a nice fish. So good day overall, and we'll be back at it tomorrow, man. So thanks for joining us, and we'll see you after the game. And as always, this episode was brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief.